You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
How do you say resources? Say that again.
Resources.
Resources. Is there a Z in there or a Z, as you Canadians would say?
Yeah, you know, it just sounds weird to say resources. Resources.
In other words, it sounds weird to sound like say like it's spelled.
Maybe.
We need to get you some resources about pronunciation. Is what we need to get.
Well, Carrie Newhoff and I were commiserating about this, and we were like, "Hey, actually, we both. It must be a Canadian thing because a lot of Canadians that I know do it. Not all Canadians, obviously. On it's not a broad generalization.
I didn't know. When did you talk about resources? That's so funny. I just noticed it. Maybe I was listening, and it's been in my subconscious.
Maybe. All right. Well, today we're going to do a series. We're going to continue our series of episodes working through questions that were submitted via office hours. This is a highlight of Plus membership, where if you submit a question, we guarantee you an answer within that week. So what we'll do is we'll read a question, one of the questions that we had answered in the past, and actually just talk through it here on the podcast. So if you're interested in Plus membership, be sure to go to newchurches.com and hit become a member to read more. Well, here's today's question. What is the gauge by which you determine if someone is going to be successful in planting a church? How much experience is necessary prior to planting?
Well, let me just say first, wouldn't it be awesome if I had a gauge that I would like, kind of put on their foreheads say this one will be successful.
So there's just not blow really... in like kind of like a, you know, are you drunk or are you not drunk? And it'll show you your competencies.
Exactly. That would be, if you invented that, lives would be changed. Oh, dude. We would save a lot of heartache too.
Yes.
So that's funny. But there is no, obviously there's no gauge or we wouldn't be saying this, but there are things to sort of tell and to know. For example, assessment is obviously a gauge maybe. So, have you gone through the kind of normal assessment process, to kind of look at what is there in what might be effective? You know, for me, I'm looking for somebody who's actually started something. Now, this is really part of the assessment, but let's talk about before we even get to assessment, right? Someone comes to me and says, Ed, I want to be a church planner. Well, you know, so one of the first questions I want to ask him is, great, that's awesome. Have you started a Bible study where you've reached some people in your church? No, I've never started anything in my life before. Well, probably church planning is not the very first thing you want to try to start. Mm-hmm. You want to pace yourself a little more than that. So those kinds of things. So, you know, an assessment typically includes initial screening, then there's initial assessment, maybe an hour meeting or something of that effect. Sometimes before that, you'll send them to an online assessment, like the Lifeway Church Planter Candidate Assessment. That kind of helps them see. A lot of people will self-screen themselves. That saves you a lot of time. But really, you're looking for certain characteristics of who they are. Is there gauge? Yeah, in a sense, there's a gauge. But really, it's more like a screen than a gauge. We're going to screen some people who might be effective. Because here's the reality. If I had a gauge, if I had a ability to always know, then we wouldn't have as many church planting failures as we do. And it's heartbreaking because I tell you, so one of the things we find is, in the big broad category, the number one reason church plants fail is because of some sort of leadership failure. So, and sometimes it's a marriage issue. Sometimes it's I'm not the leader I thought I was issue. But I can't always see, how do I see inside? Sometimes I can see marriage issues, right? I mean, we have a few conversations where we can tell, man, this is not a healthy marriage. But most of the time, these things are sort of hidden. And so if they're hidden, what do I do then? How do I gauge? So I'm sorry, it's not particularly as gauge focused as the questioner. I do think there are ways to predict maybe and to forecast, but not really to gauge you'll be successful or unsuccessful.
Yeah. Recently, Lizette Beard and I, actually not, she, her last name's not Beard anymore.
What is it, Dillinger? I think it's Dillinger.
Yes, Dillinger. So Lizette and I have Lizette been
beard for years, decades.
Yeah. So we were actually redoing the church planner assessment, how the report looks like, the Lifeway one. We're actually digging through and saying, okay, this is what it is. How can we display the results differently so that it's more usable? And so we're just kind of working through the entire report. And yesterday when we were working through the CPCA, the church planner assessment specifically, we were looking at the 20/80 charts, the percentile charts. And it's amazing to see that because there have been so many people that have taken that assessment now, that there's actually, you can see how you compare to successful church planters, other successful church planters. So do you remember, Ed, from that assessment, what caused someone to be a successful planter and come across on that line?
On that one particular line, I mean, there were a whole bunch of characteristics. I'm not sure I'm tracking with you. Help me again.
Yeah, you're right. Because there are the different categories.
Yeah, they're actually, I mean, you know, originally in the Ridley assessment, there were 13 categories that were used. And when we did the Lifeway research assessment, we found that what we were looking for is not the same thing as like categories, but we're looking for what we could validate as patterns statistically. So, and then those patterns have names and descriptions, which can be changeable. It's the questions that actually provide the statistical validity. So again, even as you guys look at it again, you know, I love that, and refreshing that is a good thing. What'll stay similar is the Lifeway candidate church planner candidate assessment is the only really validated tool that went out, you know, created a sample and built that sample, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what makes it different and helpful.
Yeah. So for example, are you an empathizer or do you have optimistic expectations? Are you persistent? Are you systematic? Are you fast paced? Are you prepared? Do you prioritize ministry? Are you a multiplier? So these are some of the categories within that. So it's kind of cool to see, hey, this is how you rank in this category and how you compare to the 20th and 80th percentile.
Yeah, see, that's a new thing, the 20th and 80th. Is that didn't exist when I was there. Yeah. You see what happens? I go away, you guys start doing all kinds of cool things. And don't even consult with me, might I add. Don't you think you should check with me?
But anyway, hey, we know you'll like it.
That's true. That's a good point. And probably I won't have time to look at it anyway, but I love that you're doing that. It sounds great.
Awesome. So when it comes to a gauge to determine if someone's going to be successful in planting a church, I'm wondering, Ed, do we have any research or have there been any studies that have talked about, hey, whether or not the planter's spouse has been on board and the amount of support that their spouse has given correlated to their success?
You know, I recently had a conversation about that. As far as direct research, it's difficult because you're asking the spouse about the partner's level of support, and you're not asking the partner, you're not asking the spouse about the support of the planter. So it's hard to tell. But again, we've seen over and over again. I mean, this is one that we would definitely see and agree is kind of an ongoing real issue. And so I don't know that I could. I've never known a church plant ever to be successful where there wasn't a supportive spouse engaged, involved with the church planner. So I think that's kind of a key thing for us to get. And, you know, and this, you know, across the whole team. So if the whole team's being assessed, you know, if you've got pastors and, you know, your youth leader and children's leader and all kinds of stuff being assessed, I mean, there's a lot of necessity of support kind of throughout, because ultimately church planning is hard. And when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, it's at that time ultimately that you'll often see whether or not your husband and wife are on the same page.
Completely. Now, in our essential church planting course, Ed, you in module 3 talk about church planting autopsies. So lessons from failed church planters. And in fact, if everyone can watch that for free, you can just go to newchurches.com/essential-church-planting, hit get access for free. You can watch the first 3 modules without having to purchase the course. But in that third module, you say that the number one cause of church plant failure is church plant leader failure.
So a friend of mine, Todd Hunter, who used to be head of the Vineyard, and now he's an Anglican bishop because people switch denominations in strange ways sometimes. So he actually did, to my knowledge, the only The only autopsy, like intentional autopsy process, we have to do that one day just through the Send Institute or New Churches or something. Mm-hmm. But basically what he did is he looked at a bunch of vineyard churches that had closed and what were some of the commonalities. And there were several, but one of the things I've seen over and over again is the commonality that they did, that something went wrong with the leadership. It's you know, I mean, John Maxwell, I know he rhymes and it's pithy, but everything really does rise and fall on leadership. He's right. And so I think to acknowledge that and to see that is key. And once it, you know, once you see that it rises and falls on leadership, then you begin to respond and say, all right, how do we find the right leader? Now, again, there are other paths too. You could do house churches and it's a different kind of leadership and it opens up the door for all kinds of other options. But for the kind of church plant that many of us are doing kind of right now, you know, what we're looking for is pretty high capacity leader to be able to do some of these things.
Yeah. So as you are discerning a call to plant, or let's say you are planting a church right now, or you're a couple of years in, one of the things that you want to be aware of, that you need to be aware of, is this need to continually learn. Because when you are preparing to plant, obviously there's this fire hose of, okay, you are stepping into the unknown and you're wanting to read books, go to seminars, take courses, get other people's feedback. But as you go and as you move along in the years, there's a tendency for a lot of us to drift. There's a tendency for us just to operate the way that we have operated, and something's worked in the past, so obviously it'll work in the future is kind of our common thinking. So there's a tendency to stop learning, but successful church planters continue to grow. They continue to learn. They have a plan for leadership development, not only for themselves, but for their team. And that's actually one of the characteristics of churches that multiply based on our studies.
Yeah, we see that it's a good point. I think it does matter that's what multiplication ultimately does look like. And that's going to flow from leadership. It's going to be engaged in ongoing training and resourcing. Leaders do that. You know, I mean, you know, again, pithy phrases, leaders are readers. But what that really is saying is that leaders are taking on the task of ongoing growth and development. And that makes the difference.
Thanks again for listening in. Be sure to check out Plus Membership, where every week we guarantee you an answer to whatever question that you have for your ministry context. So you can go to newchurches.com.
It's not like any question. We're not
for your ministry context.
mysterious math equations from the 80s. You should give them a swag. And I'm looking at this crappy speaker you gave me a while ago. And so it's still here on my desk. Yeah. So it says New Churches on it. So do we still have those speakers or do we get nicer ones?
We have a few left, but we do have some new swag coming in the mail.
Nice. You like those speakers though. You actually use it. I always complain about it. So what are you going to do?
Awesome. Well, we'll catch you next time.
Bye.